Hello again from Beyond the Estuary. Today as I speak to you, it's started to rain here, and you might hear the rain on the roof, which is a pretty nice sound. And when I finish this podcast, I'm going to go and light a fire. So I guess rain on the roof and an open fire is a pretty optimum place to be reading and listening to poetry. The rain on the roof reminds me too that I've been reading lately that there have been quite a few changes in the environment since we've been locked down due to COVID-19, and there's been less industry, less cars on the road. It seems like the environment is perhaps healing itself a little bit. There's certainly less carbon monoxide in the atmosphere. I understand that there was 50% less carbon monoxide in New York City recently. And wildlife seems to be coming back into the environment more. In the canals of Venice, I think there was a lot more wildlife. And turtles have been laying more eggs on beaches, evidently, because there's less crowds standing around gawking at them. Here beyond the estuary, we've noticed a lot more swans congregating. And a little while ago, I went out into the garden just before the rain started, or just after it started, and I heard a frog croaking, which must be a first. So I wonder if the environment is healing itself, given this opportunity to do so. I certainly hope so, and it's certainly come into sharper focus. I suppose we've had more time really to be aware of the environment and everything around us. The scientists actually saying that COVID-19 is really just a prelude or a practice for global warming. So climate change is very much in the background, I think, all the time still. So I thought I'd read a few poems today to do with the environment and nature. And the first poem I want to read, first poem is actually a poem by Dylan Thomas, read by Dylan Thomas, called A Poem in October, sent to me by my friend Helen. And it very much speaks about Dylan Thomas exposed to nature and the effect that it had on him, and the spiritual connection, I think, really that it had on him. So here's Dylan Thomas reading Poem in October.
It was my 30th year to heaven, woke to my hearing from harbour and neighbourhood, and the mussel pooled and the heron priested shore. The morning beckon with water praying and call of seagull and rook, and the knock of sailing boats on the net-webbed wall, myself to set foot that second in the still sleeping town at 7 o'clock. My best day began with the water birds, and the birds of the wind trees flying my name above the farms and the white horses. And I rose in rainy autumn and walked abroad in a shower of all my days. High tide and the heron died when I took the road over the border, and the gates of the town closed as the town awoke. A springful of larks in a rolling cloud, and the roadside bushes brimming with whistling blackbirds, and the sun of October, summery on the hill's shoulder. Here were fond climates and sweet singers suddenly come in the morning, where I wandered and listened to the rain ringing wind blow cold in the wood far away under me. Pale rain over the dwindling harbour, and over the sea-wet church the size of a snail with its horns full mist, and the castle brown as ours. But all the gardens of spring and summer were blooming the tall tales beyond the border and under the lark-full cloud. There would I marvel my birthday away, but the weather turned around. He turned away from the blithe country, and down the other air and the blue altered sky streamed again a wonder of summer with apples, pears, and red currants. And I saw in the turning so clearly a child's forgotten mornings when he walked with his mother through the parables of sunlight and the legends of the green chapels and the twice-told fields of infancy. But his tears burned my cheeks, and his heart moved in mine. These were the woods, the river and sea, whereby, in the listening summertime of the dead, whispered the truth of his joy to the trees and the stones and the fish in the tide. And the mystery sang alive, still in the water of singing birds. And there could I marvel my birthday away, but the weather turned around, and the true joy of a long dead child sang burning in the sun. It was my 30th year to heaven, stood there then in the summer noon, where the town below lay leaved with a turba blood. Oh, may my heart's truth still be sung on this high hill in a year's turning.
Well, that was Dylan Thomas reading his poem, A Poem in October. I think if you can make allowances for perhaps, dare I say it, a bit of an over-dramatic recitation, it's a beautiful poem, and especially the internal rhythms, I think, are really beautiful. It reminds me a bit of, if you haven't heard of his poem Under Milkwood, it's a bit like that. Look it up and find Richard Burton reading Under Milkwood. It's a beautiful poem too. So to interpret his poem, I suppose it's a poet around the age of 30, returning to the places of his childhood where he reclaimed the wonderful memories and the joys of childhood at that age of 30. And I think to my mind he makes quite a spiritual connection to the land. Interesting how he uses some phrases, quite spiritual phrases. He talks about the priesthood heron's shore. Interesting use of a noun there. And he talks about the water praying as that sort of spiritual connection. Another poem that I sort of picked up, a more recent poet, a living poet, I saw recently, just a short little poem, which is called A Sonnet at the Edge of the Reef. And this is a poem by Craig Santos Perez. Now, he's a professor in English at the University of Hawaii. He was born in Guam. It's an indigenous Chamorro tribe, indigenous people. And he writes what they call a lot of eco-poetry, becoming something more popular now and more widespread. I suppose poetry with an ecological message. A local poet who I can recommend too, who writes eco-poetry, a woman called Anne Elvey in Melbourne. And I give her a shout out because she was the one who actually chose my manuscript for my first chapbook, The Arms of Men. And she runs a journal called The Plumwood Mountain, which is a journal of eco-poetics. Suppose it's trying to make the link between poetry and nature. Anyway, this poem, A Sonnet at the Edge of the Reef, I'll just read that for you. We dip our hands into the outdoor reef exhibit and touch sea cucumber and red urchin as butterfly fish swim by. A docent explains, once a year after the full moon, when tides swell to a certain height and salt water reaches the perfect temperature, only then will the ocean cue coral polyps to spawn in synchrony, a galaxy of gametes which dances to the surface, fertilizes, opens, forms larvae, roots to seafloor, and grows generation upon generation. At home we read a children's book, The Great Barrier Reef, to our daughter snuggling between us in bed. We don't mention corals bleaching, reared in labs or frozen. And isn't our silence too a kind of shelter? Okay, so worth looking at some of the poetry of Craig Santos Perez and his eco-poetry. So touching on that sort of theme today of noticing and taking time to notice nature and the landscape around us, I suppose touching on that line from my COVID-19 poem of last week, that line, did we forget to touch the sacred land? I'd like to just finish up today reading a poem from my first chapbook, The Arms of Men, and this poem is called The Angelus. I suppose the idea here is that, I don't know if any of you ever remember the Angelus, but that used to be in Catholic circles what was prayed at the middle of the day when everybody stopped and the bells rang and everybody stopped whatever work they were doing just to pause for a few minutes to pray or just to stop and be aware of the environment, the land around them, and be aware of just what they were doing. I suppose that's a good theme for us now. We've all stopped what we're doing really, and we're sort of stopping, looking inside, and probably being a bit more aware of ourselves and of the environment around us. So this is the Angelus. Bring back the Angelus, unhurried song of heaven, distilled voice of God, announcing events undreamed of. This is not all there is, and none of this will last. Long before final notes falter, lingering across valleys, sinking into shadows, your cortege will creep like a small black beetle across the vast landscape of a wrinkling leaf. The Angelus forever silent. Okay, so that's probably enough for me today, and look forward to your comments on this, and also send me any poems or thoughts that you've got. Goodbye from beyond the estuary.